Blog Talk Radio.
It is December 27, 2015, 6:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time in America, Sunday evening. My name is Granton Taylor Hughes from my show, Granton Taylor Hughes Show, with my guest host each week, Gabriella Foster. Hi, Gabriella. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you. How about yourself, Grant?
I'm fine. And how was your Christmas?
Oh, well, that's very nice of you to ask. It was very pleasant and relaxed, as I was hoping it would be.
Did Santa Claus come to your house?
He did. He did make a visit to the house, and he got stuck in the chimney, and we had to pry him out of it and then put him on a diet before he could go down the other chimneys. It was quite an ordeal, actually. That part wasn't so relaxing.
I see. So how did you get him out of the chimney?
Well, oddly enough, it was a shovel that I had that we actually had to shovel him out of the chimney.
Yeah, I can see you really shoveling it now, too.
Yeah. But he came out of the chimney, and I said to him, you know, Santa, you've gained too much weight. It's time for you to go on a raw vegan diet.
Ah, so, there you go. So that means Santa Claus is raw vegan. Okay, so does everybody hear that? Santa Claus has gone raw vegan. How about that?
Well, I don't know how long he'll stay on it. He said there were a lot of temptations when he went to the houses because everybody was leaving him hot chocolate and cookies.
So I said,
you know, it's up to you. If you want to be able to live to another Christmas and get down those chimneys, you got to watch yourself. So he promised
yeah,
he would do his best.
All right, thank you for the humoresque beginning. And we did it again each week. We start out with a really incredible joke for everybody being greatly intrigued in the show. So thank you very much for being a part of that particular jocular mode, I'll say. And last week I promised we talked about sovereignty, and we can continue with that a little bit. Each week we try to talk about my political platform, which has four planks of health, sovereignty, solvency, and afficionado. And because it has four planks, it could be pillars, too, four pillars to hold up the platform. Correct. So the pillars or planks, whichever comes first, they should be wide planks. If they're narrow planks, you fall right through into the sea below. That's if you could actually see it below, right? Or is that the sea below, or if you can see it below? But then what would you see if something was below? Would it be the sea? All right, on a roll. We have good writers this week. Thank you very much, writers. I appreciate it. You can stay on. We won't fire you again. not bad, right? Sea below, water below the planks. And that means there's some sort of a trapdoor. I suppose so. The trapdoor is when we get off the subject, correct? Which we never do. We never always topic-driven on this show. We segue right back into the tremendous platform that we do have. All right, so last week we talked about sovereignty. And let me ask you right out of the gate, Gabriella, what do you know about sovereignty?
Well, I know that you can spell it S-O-V-E-R-E-I-G-N-T-Y.
Ah, very good.
And it actually means soul rain. Soul rain, not like the rain that's coming down from the clouds, but the rain of a king or a queen.
We're going into the pun worlds this week. Classically, it's called paronomasia for all those aficionados out there. And in the UK, they call sovereignty equity because that means all things being equal. And Sir Occam's razor, as they say, is always as simple as root. But the idea of equity would be also equilibrium or equitable, as I ever said. And then it would be ordained sovereignty. This man is born in equity, according to some theories politically. So I say that's synonymous, and some of the people agreed that it was it was synonymous with ordained sovereignty. That means you're born sovereign, but the issue is to enact it in a contracts law world. For instance, we're a paper document world, so that means that sovereignty needs to be enacted in order to prove your humanity. That we went through that painstakingly this morning on my political show in the UK in the mornings, on Sunday mornings. And we went through that in regarding why does a sovereign need a documentation? Why does an ordained sovereign need documentation? And then the idea is to, how do you prove that you're human? I'll say that to you. How do you prove that you're human, Gabrielle?
Who do I have to prove that I'm a human?
Well, okay, maybe to another human, perhaps. And how would they know they are human? So it's wonderful.
Well,
how does it begin to begin?
So a human versus an alien, a robot, an android, an animal.
I would
hope if they don't know by looking at me that I'm a human, then I probably don't want to have a conversation with them.
I see. Okay. Well, there's a whole lot of inferences there. You're saying that you're inferring that they're human as well. So, like I said,
I'm
sorry. That was begin to begin.
Right. But the question was that you asked was how I prove that I'm a human to another human. So I was, I was saying.
Mm-hmm. Well, I didn't know that question was really more straightforward. How do you prove you're human? That was, well, maybe I can qualify that. Well, let's try the first question.
Well, you can speak. You can speak.
Mm-hmm.
Speak. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Speaking would be what the sense of. Is voice one of the five senses? No, it's not. Voice isn't it?
It's one of the ten senses. It's one of the ten senses.
Right. But according to Grantham Taylor Hughes, that is. I think Grantham is the only one that has the ten sentient, and I think other people have different views on these things. However, and it's interesting how the first five senses don't have voice involved. So that means then you can see why people are condemning people for speaking in the marketplace. Oh, that must be some oddity because they're not an animal like me, the five senses. I hadn't thought about that. It's very interesting. You wonder sometimes you speak up and go, oh, they think you're weird because, oh, he's not of the sensate body. He's not Landru of the body, right, in Star Trek?
mm-hmm.
So that's very interesting, isn't it? That speaking is really not of the physical body in terms of the five senses. So you heard it first, everybody, here on the Grant Taylor News Show. If you speak, you're really not of the sensate body. So you're really not a part of humanity according to the way they teach you, according to Hoyle, right? Well, this is a really good show. Stay tuned, folks. We're having a lot of fun so far. That's amazing. Isn't that so weird? It really is. In school, they teach you the five senses, and then voice isn't one of them. So how does the teacher justify the fact that he's teaching the students through his voice or her voice? they don't even consider that, do they? They just take it for granted, like everything else. Man, that is really interesting. I like me a lot.
I see we're in for a show tonight.
we're in trouble, best case, right? Let's see how much time we have left. Well, we blew off 10 minutes almost. How about that?
Well, that's pretty good. You think we have an
audience
left? Yeah, we had
20 to go.
Left?
yeah, I think a few stayed. Some ran away. Help! Help me! Help! But isn't there a lot of inference with that? I mean, there's a lack of explanation in terms of that. Gosh, it's so incredible that I would be the only person to address the voice issue as part of the ten senses and ascension being. Gosh, what happened to intelligence in the world? We left.
Well, however, you have to realize that there are people that are, you know, are deaf mutes. They're humans, but they're not able to speak with their voice.
I see. Well, that's another thing. That would be an opinion that you have in terms of human. They were talking about Helen Keller, that she had to be, in order for her to speak, Ann Sullivan made her press her hand, so she had the sense of touch. She had a sense of touch.
Right.
And she had, she couldn't hear or see. She had the other three senses, taste, smell, and touch. And that's how eventually she was able to speak, because Ann Sullivan pressed her hand into hers and did the letters. So there was a touch factor.
She was able to write, because, I mean, she wrote using, I guess, I don't know if she wrote, how she wrote, Braille, I guess, that, or she dictated it by sign language using her hands.
Well,
I'm not sure.
Yeah, eventually, when she pressed the letters into her hand, and this goes without explanation, too, and somewhat. I mean, that it's interesting how this falls prey to lack of detail as well, is they... this pressing of the hand and the sense of touch wasn't discussed. See, there's another, it's like my pet peeve of geometry. The square root of 25 is 5, but what does 25 measure? It's none of the geometry books you think it would. They have tables of square roots, but they don't explain to you what the 25 measures. And that's just the area of the square. See, I almost forgot there for a minute. You see, 25 measures the area of the square. You can't find that in the books. You would think it would be there. Just like you would think that Helen Keller would be talking, or Ann Sullivan would be talking about the sense of touch as important in terms of teaching a deaf mute. Nothing said into that. You scan the books. Go ahead. I challenge anybody to do it. It's just incredible. They leave out the simplest things that are obvious to me, and they're obvious to a lot of people. And that's why people leave the classrooms and run away, because they're insulting everybody's intelligence on a constant basis. And then people wonder why there's problems in the world. Help, you know, the lack of detail. See? And I think that it should be addressed. I mean, we do a lot on my UK calls. They do it till the cows come home in terms of detail and questions and what have you. And I think that's okay to a certain degree if it's not done from just a pure casuist view or just for rhetoric, like you're just doing it for the sake of doing it, like catharsis, something to do, when in reality, if you're really trying to learn something, gaining knowledge, that's different. If you're just doing it to waste somebody's time or to kill time, I think that's pathetic, really, when you get right down to it. But that would mean that universities and schools, middle schools, elementary education, the whole shebang are just killing time, right? Is that pathetic or what?
Yeah, it is.
Okay, thank you very much for that elaborate answer. I really appreciate that. Okay, that's really grand. So, in other words, universities and schools are all built just for catharsis and revenue, right? They're just trying to make money, giving jobs to people to waste
and
time.
What was the second word you said? I couldn't hear what you said.
Gaining revenue. Wasting people's time. Something to do, catharsis, wasting time.
Well, they think
they're, really
think they're doing something worthwhile. They think they're doing something worthwhile. I mean, there are people that go there and come out and they take a specific profession because having
knowledge. Oh, yeah, they become competitive in the world of competition. And then they make some money, retire, and die, right? Oh, that was fun. That was really great, wasn't it? Tremendous value. And then... after
so what
a time,
do you think they should do? Wait a minute, I have a question for you. What do you think they should do instead?
Be more creative, gain knowledge about the cosmos and the real cosmos, and not the Trilateral Commission's view of it, NASA's funny view of what goes on. You know, and get beyond hidden agendas. Ask some questions. I mean, it's just. And then they say, "Well, I'm not a conspiracy theorist or an advocate." But I'll question things, but I also go and do a lot of study and research and don't make conclusions based upon nonsense. I don't make inference conclusions or jump to conclusions. Never do that. So my conclusions, which are rare, because people are always trying to press me to make certain decisions one way or the other but I'm usually in the middle, so to speak, until I can find enough information to make it conclusive. And it's very hard to do that. In other words, we're usually dealing with a lot of theory. We talk about that, those three levels. I talk about theory, law, and practice. Very rarely do things become law, especially in science, because it's evanescence, changing all the time. So how do you make a standard or a law or a practice if it's always changing? See? That's the problem. The problem is that the evanescence of the universe, that the constant shift and change and stepping up of logic. See, that's logic becomes a circle jerk, in my opinion. It doesn't work. It really is a huge failure. And that's why the schools keep away certain documents that are called, for instance, Bayesian theories and uncertainty. Or Dr. Bayes, many, many years ago, wrote that particular treatise of uncertainty. And there's other physicists that have written similar dissertations that the universe is an uncertain place, but they don't want to teach that to children in elementary schools, and even because they're in fear of not having conclusions. See, and they're in fear of revolution and all that business. But I'm saying quit insulting people's intelligence and just tell them like it is. We don't know, okay? But we do know in other words, let's put it this way, we pursue the stepping up of the concepts and doing the very best we can, but then they say, well, isn't that still an uncertainty and futile? I say, well, I call it divine futility, okay, because you're really making a concerted effort to find truth. But then again, see, the irony is, well, if you can never find the truth, or truth is subjective, then what are you doing? Are you wasting your time too? Or Grantham, are you wasting your time every week on the show? Well, perhaps I am. I don't know. I remember I make that joke about years ago, a lady stood up in a lecture and she said to me, I haven't agreed with anything you said in the last half hour. Just like this half hour, nobody will agree with anything as well. Hey, I'm on a roll today, aren't I? Wow, this is good stuff. But I got to finish. The lady said to me, I haven't agreed with anything you've said in the last half hour. And you know what I said to her? I said, me neither. I agree with you. I think it was all junk. And so it was very disarming for me because she sort of looked at me because she wanted to create an argument, and I made it an agreement. She had made it instead. I disarmed the whole situation because it doesn't really matter, albeit we still need to pursue things, you see. Because if we don't pursue things, then everybody thinks they're God. And that's mostly what we deal in America. Everyone thinks they're on a throne for everyone's amusement, for everybody's amusement. Amuse me, you know. TV, amuse me. I want to escape into oblivion because I don't want to make an effort to think. I don't want to make an effort to know something. But in reality, you already know. But if the information you're getting lacks tremendous detail, not even close to the variables that you need, then you're going to run away to escapism and to all sorts of ways to do that. See, and that's why drugs are prevalent and what have you, because the knowledge is so pitiful. Boy, this is good tonight. Let's see how much more time I wasted here in my realm of catharsis. All right. We've almost gone to 20 minutes. Isn't it amazing? Time flies when you're having fun or when you're hot. Come on. You got to really appreciate this show. I do. I think it's great. I think people have a load of laughs, right? Oh, man. Patch Adams, eat your heart out. Probably patches, they still do the medical stuff, you know? They might laugh a lot, but they still inject you with sodium pentothal at the end, right?
Pretty brutal.
That's pretty brutal, right? Yeah, go ahead.
Does he still exist?
I don't know. I'll have to check that out. It's very interesting. Boy, he was a real trip, wasn't he? I don't know.
Yeah.
I really don't know. I haven't looked that up in a while. It'd be easy to find out. Just go online and check out Patch Adams. Are you still around, Patch? I'll do that. I'll check it as we speak here to see if Patch is around. We'll just go to Google it. We'll Google that, right? We'll Google Patch Adams. And for the people that already know, I truly apologize. I don't mean to insult your intelligence, but I don't want to insult mine by not, oh, Patch Adams. Let's see. We'll go and see if he's still there. Patch Adams. Yep, he's 70 years old, born in 1945. So he's still about, and he founded the Gesundheit Institute. All right.
All right. So Disney running a kind of an alternative or holistic hospital.
I think in Virginia, I'm pretty sure. Well, the Gesundheit Institute. Yeah. Let's see where it is. Let's see if they're clicking on it. All right. Okay. Let's see. The Gesundheit Institute. Remember, we're on radio here. Gesundheit Institute. And learn more. It still exists. I think it's in Virginia, I'm pretty sure. It doesn't.
I think
I'm
so.
I'm not really getting.
If I recall.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah,
for people that don't know who he is, he was a big proponent of making patients laugh to recover. I don't think that was the only thing he used, but he felt that humor helped people change their attitudes and want to recover by laughing.
Their P.O. box is in Illinois, Urbana, Illinois, but I don't know where they are on the ground, their physical address. I'm not sure, but they have a P.O. box in Illinois. Exactly. He would make people laugh, and then the standard medical profession was really upset with him in the beginning. But I don't know if they've conceded to it or they still think it's a joke, right? I can't help that. my teacher always said that laughter is a survival factor. Humor being a survival factor, you need a sense of humor, and I agree. I think it's very important. And then another good friend told me several weeks ago about a mentor he had that he has said that people had serious disease. So I have to admit to my friend, I now call it SD, right? So that apparently is mine. I took the initials. So we say you have SD, and they say, what is that? I mean, you have serious disease. Oh, my, which is funny. So it's like cosmic conscious teaching. If you ever notice, if anybody listens to those things, you know, they have these gurus that talk and blah, blah, blah. But they're very serious. They don't really tell any jokes, so to speak. So they're very serious. I always say they're very serious about their bliss, right?
That's true.
I'm in bliss state. What's that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, don't make
true.
Me laugh. Well, go ahead, sorry.
Yeah, if you're not laughing, then you probably should be going someplace else.
Well, if you're not laughing, you're weeping, probably, or you're
right,
serious.
Right, but I'm saying, what you're doing is not enabling you to have a sense of humor, then you should probably go someplace else.
Well, yeah, or just, as I'm saying, it doesn't mean that you can't be, in balance if you're not laughing. In other words, you can be content, contentment, but isn't contentment a matter of happiness? I mean, contentment could equal happiness, I think, wouldn't it? I mean, contentment would have to be that. And happy could, at a higher level or at one range would be emoting laughter, correct? So that whole thing about telling a joke and somebody's being serious about information, well, gee, hello, the woman told me my stuff was junk, why isn't there junk? Oh, this is a good show. I would say everybody review this show. You'll have some real fun. not only say new information, but very glib information. Nowadays, being the glibosity that we have in society, we're very glib and casual about the way we bend the vocabulary, what have you. Maybe I had banana whip before. Maybe they made me go bananas, right? Before the show. Does that equate that bananas equation going to pardon me?
Yes.
It could be. So I promised I wouldn't do a comedic show, but apparently we've turned it into one. Or at least
mine,
anyway.
Your promise? It wasn't me. Wow. You didn't make that promise to me. I don't know who you promised to.
I mean, promise to make a comedic show?
I don't know.
People that appreciate my humor.
I guess, you know, it's the exit of the old year and the bringing in of the new.
Oh, that's right. The exit of the old, maybe that's it. The enthusiasm of bringing in the new year, perhaps that's it. And the effervescence of being happy and jocular. That sort of thing. Maybe that's it. So I have a New Year's disease, not serious disease, but NYS. I mean, NYD, right? NYPD.
Are you
right?
Making any New Year's resolutions?
So it's resolved that I'll be funny on every show, and then everybody will show up, right? The comedy club, right?
Mm-hmm.
I can't do Club Raw 100, but I can do Comedy Club 100, right? And so that means if you laugh, you'll make it
that
to
already
100.
Exists.
What, Club Raw 100?
No, Comedy Club 100.
No,
sounds
I just
familiar.
Made
maybe that's Club
no, I
Med.
Think... Club Med. Club Med 100, right? They'll be lucky to see
yeah.
100. What are you talking about?
I guess, does that still exist?
I have no idea.
Now,
as
the audience can tell from tonight's show, I have no idea if anything exists.
Yeah, because we have to keep looking up under Google. For those people that don't know what a Google is, you know what a Google is, right?
Of course everybody knows what Google is. Anyone that has a computer, which is probably the majority of the world.
No, that's not true. What is a Google specifically? What is a Google?
Oh, you mean the number
they,
of Google? You mean
yeah,
Google
what is it? Do you
Plex.
Remember? No,
yeah,
not a Google Plex.
Something with an awful lot of zeros. I remember that.
Ah, very. Even at Google has 100 zeros. It's 10 to the 100.
10 to
but
the 100.
But a Google Plex, Google Plex is 10 to the 10th to the 100. So you've got a superscript on the first superscript. And that means that there's enough paper in the universe to write the zeros down. That's how many zeros there are in the Google Plex. But that number was created by Carl Sagan, I think in the book Cosmos, I'm pretty sure. And it's he didn't admit this, but there are some people that in the know said that his son, as a baby, said the word Google.
Okay,
used
so you had no awareness that I was pretend snoring just now.
I heard it, but I was hoping nobody else did.
Okay, sorry, everybody.
It has nothing to do with cows in the field. I heard it, right? Moo,
right.
Moo, right? Oh, and people go, like, oh, I see your cows. Just add the O's onto it. Moo, right? That thing where people go, like that, which I really can't stand. All right, so we're getting down towards the end. We really did a number on this show, didn't we? Well, we had some fun, nevertheless.
Yeah.
I did mention
yes,
the
Yes, we had some fun.
Originally.
I don't know if anyone had any fun listening, but I guess you'll get those cards and letters letting you know.
That's true. I get a lot of hate mail, you know. Can't you ever do anything on your show that's worthwhile? I said, you're laughing, aren't you? Yes, I do laugh, but do you think that's worthwhile? Yes, I do. Yeah. Call Pat. She'll tell you. All right, so we're getting down close to the end. Thank you, Gabriella, for being here and making it very enjoyable. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Is that it? Because I still got to kill a minute and a half. Jeez.
Oh, okay. Thank you very much. And thank you again. And thank you another 30 times. If I do that for another 30 times, then maybe we'll be out of time at the end that I'm finishing thanking you. How is that?
Yeah, that's much better. You killed off about 15 seconds. I appreciate it.
Okay, that's good.
All right, so let me thank the Journeyman.
Happy New Year,
Academy
everyone.
Week. Oh, yeah, Happy New Year to everybody. Happy New Year to the Journeyman. Happy New Year to the new people. I really appreciate you, one and all. And it was a great 2015. And hopefully 2016 will be just as well, if not better, as they say in all those sentiments and platitudes and political nonsense. That's pretty good, is it? We started with a good laugh. We'll probably end with a good laugh, too. And we dedicate the show to Patch Adams. Why not, right? For the new year. that sounds pretty good, right? For all those people that are interested in that.
So.
And he's 70 years old now, and congratulations for making it that far, which is a rarity these days, or the average age. Who knows? So I just killed off about a minute. I did pretty well with that, too, right? So this is Grant and Taylor Hughes for my show. Have a great week. Please enjoy it and have a happy new year again. Bye for now. Thank you very much. And we got 9, 8, 7, 6. Hey, this is a new year deal. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Happy new year. that was a pretty good show. What do you think?